Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to episode 96 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is April 28th, and it is me, Summer Yarns, S-O-M-E-R-Y-A-R-N-S, and Katie, who is Katie B, and
Katie B, K-A-Y-T-E-E-B-E on Ravelry, Katie B, K-T on Instagram. My Ravelry profile has all my links.
Yeah. And same for me. All of my social network stuff is on Ravelry. It's also on the kitchenstitches.com webpage over on the right-hand side if you want to catch us there. That is also where I almost always post show notes if you want to catch or want to check anything that we talk about. I don't know how much actual knitting there is in this episode because I've been traveling a lot and was very, very monogamous. And but I do have a lot of enabling. So if enabling is not your thing, this is probably after just probably about 10 minutes or so, you may want to check out because it's a enabling heavy episode this week.
We have the windows open because it's probably the last really nice weekend before the humidity sets in.
I think we may have said that the last time too, and it's actually, we've had a really nice spring.
It's been a beautiful spring.
Which kind of makes
now it's humid, but humidity comes later this week, but the cardinals are being really, really loud. Mm-hmm. Plus I have a cat that's outside, he may get in the window and try and talk to me, so.
But it's real life. Yeah, for Houston, we had a real winter. We've had a real spring, which makes me a little nervous. We might have a real summer, but.
We always have a real summer.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I don't know if it can.
Hey, I'll take a real fall.
Yeah, but. Let's start with finished objects. I have a significant finished object that I'm really, really proud of. It's been worn a couple of times already, but this is the Distract Me sweater by Amanda Weger, or Woger, W-O-E-G-E-R. I use Suburban Stitcher Sock in the, it's not slate blue, clean slate colorway and River's Edge. The past couple of times I think I've said slate blue and I was wrong. This is just a pullover and I love it so much. It fits perfectly. It is just a really basic pullover. It kind of reminds, well, my yarn choices make it seem a little bit like a fade. Because it's got, the slate blue is just a really pretty tonal blue. And then the River's Edge is a kind of a moss green, but it also has some of that same blue in it. I'm glad I chose what I chose, but what is going on over there?
Birds bouncing off the windows, I guess. I heard more than one thump. Yeah.
Had I noticed how much blue was in the River's Edge, I might have not chosen it for this because especially, it has a stripe sequence that starts out with just one stripe of the contrast and then the contrast stripes get progressively wider. And the really thin stripes really kind of blend into the blue, but I like it. I think it looks really good, but I might have chosen something differently at the time. That said, I'm glad I didn't because I really like the overall effect. The construction was really interesting. The way the sleeve caps were done, they're done with short rows and they were really easy. The instructions on this pattern were impeccable. It's probably one of the best written patterns I've done. Everything was spelled out perfectly. So it has, it's, like I said, it's just a basic pullover with ribbing at the bottom. The sleeves have a rolled hem, you know, just pure stockinette, so they roll. But the end of them, like the last 10 rows, were with the contrast color. So the roll is in the contrast. And then it has a ribbed neckline, but you pick up stitches around the edge with the contrast color and do It's just a couple of garter rows, but it looks like, it kind of looks like a an I-cord around the edge. And that's my favorite detail. There's just something just really sweet about it. I love the cardinals, personally.
They're just loud.
But I am just very, very pleased with this. I've made a couple of other sweaters. This one fits better than any one I've made, and it was a much more enjoyable process.
Well, your skills are better, too.
Yeah.
And that one's an easier...
Right.
An easier style. It's not...
I agree.
Short rows or 10 skeins of worsted put together, either.
Right. But I would highly recommend this pattern. I don't know what else she has. I haven't looked at her if she has other patterns. I would knit other things by her in a heartbeat. It's really great. And then the other one I actually finished last night. It is the Geology Shawl by Very Busy Monkey. And I used Malabrigo sock in the lettuce colorway. And if you've listened for a while, you know that I love Very Busy Monkey patterns. They are
small.
It is small, but it's actually... For me,
to make it like a kerchief or something.
It is definitely kerchief style. I could have made it bigger by adding rows here, this section. I could have doubled or more. I don't know that I had enough yarn for it, but I'm happy. Like this, if I want to just wear it as a kerchief, it's fine. But, it's called the Geology Shawl because it's got layers. So we've got a stockinette. Layer at the top, and then a seed stitch layer, a lace section, and then this kind of a zigzag, you know,
rib
textured
yeah.
pattern, then this star pattern, and then a kind of a feather and fan type layer at the bottom. It's really easy. The star part I've never done, but it was really simple. And it went very, very quickly. So I'm really happy with this too. It is small, but it turned out, I mean, it's
my wingspan.
So, you know, I'm 5 feet tall and it's like my perfect wingspan. So 60 inches. So pleased with that one. And then my final finished object is the one, my goodness, the one, braid of fiber that I've spun in the past month. I was very, very monogamous on the sweater. I've been to a couple of conferences. I was trying to get it finished for the first conference. That didn't happen, but I did. I finished it the day before I left for the second conference, and at least the week before, that was pretty much all I worked on. I didn't do any spinning. I finished the. Right before, when we podcast the last time, I had just finished a skein, and I decided not to start anything new since I was going to be traveling so much. I decided to just wait. I was afraid I would lose my consistency and whatever. So this finished braid, I finished actually finished it last night. It's Elemental Fiber Works, and the colorway is PSO J318.5-22. I don't know what that means, but I bet Monday Bread Judy does know what that means. I assume she does. Jimmy actually didn't. He's like, what is that? Is that part of the Trappist series? I'm like, yes, I think so. But it's a Polworth silk, and it's gray and purple, and it's really fluffy and squishy. I got about 400, probably a little over 400 yards of a plump DK, I would say. It's definitely worsted in some places right in here, but I really like that. And that's all my finished objects. Do you have any of those?
No.
I think so. Okay. Do you want to talk about whips, or do you want me to keep going?
I can talk for a second.
Okay.
I'm still not knitting a whole bunch, just because I don't get the time at work to do it, and at home, I just haven't picked it up that much. But I'm still working on my Free Your Fade by Andrea Mowry. That's the long, skinny, triangle version. I'm using Miss Babb's, Kaweya DK in, four different colors. I'm in my third color right now. It's one of those that you can adjust and make kind of as big or small as you want. Probably finish out one or two more sections in the more solid purple, and then go to the purple and light gray section, which would be that last section. So I'm working on that. And then I haven't worked on it much this week, but my crochet temperature blanket, I'm using yarn from Michaels, the worsted. I'm in the end of September, October, so I've got, like, I'm on square 40 or 41, mm-hmm. and I've got the first three rows all sewn together, and the fourth row pieced together, but not attached to the blanket yet. Mm-hmm. Then I've got another five or six squares. So I'm over halfway done, because I need to do 56 squares. So temperature, date-wise, I'm about October. Yeah, that's all I've got. All
right. Sorry, I somehow have my... I don't know what I did. Oh, there we go. Sorry, I have my show notes somehow was in edit mode. Let's see. What do I have? Most of these I don't actually have with me. I am still working on a pair of vanilla socks using Handspun. It's Elemental Fiber Works Polworth Silk Mohair in the Venus colorway. And it basically looks like a creamsicle. So it's kind of oranges and peaches. Hey, kitty. Oh. I'm getting some love here. And I am, let's see, I am past the heel on the first sock. This one has gotten very little attention because it's at work and I haven't been at work. It's funny, I actually cast on two pairs of socks for conference knitting and I only ended up bringing one with me. I'm using the Addy, what are they called? Flexi flips.
Yeah.
And I've decided I don't like them. They're not for me. So I'm going to, with the second sock, I'm going to switch to circular and see how that goes. I will probably give those away at some point to anybody that wants them, but that will be in the future. I don't know if you want to try them. They're size ones. Or no, they even maybe, I think they're size zeros. So they're really small. I just find them too fiddly. It's just not for me. So that is the first vanilla sock. And then I have another pair of vanilla socks in Unwind Yarn Company, Journey Sock in the Bluffs colorway, which is some variegated blues and greens. It's really pretty. And I couldn't find it this morning. So I think maybe it ended up at work when I came back from conferences. Either that or it's hiding in my house somewhere. But I'm probably in about the same place on that one as I am with the other one, except this was a full sock. The other one is, I didn't say, it was a pair of shorty socks. So those are my two socks. And then I worked a bit on the Argent Curl by Hunter Hammerson. I'm using Cascade Heritage Sock and Royal Blue for that. And I didn't bring that one because it looks just the same as I've knit on it, but you can't really see the progress in. And it's really boring. I'm going to plug along at it because it's going to be pretty when it's done. But it was a struggle to make myself knit on it last week. I said I had been monogamous. I'm trying to kind of keep up the monogamous knitting for the most part just because that's where I am right now, but that was tough. It was really tough. Now I decided even before I finished the sweater, I decided I wanted to cast on another sweater. I tried really hard to wait until May to cast it on, but I couldn't. So I am now also working on the Separate Ways by Hohi Locatelli, which is part of the latest interpretations book, ebook, with her and Vera Valamaki. And I'm using Stunning String Studios Smashing Shop, Smashing Sock in Rusty Gate, which is kind of a chocolatey brown, spicy mustard, which is a lighter brown, Aqua Ice, which is an aqua blue, and Dutch Coral, which is kind of a pinky coral. Actually, I do have that one with me. So this is the brown, so it's a tonal, very chocolatey brown. This is actually part of my acquisitions. When I went to DFW Fiber Fest, this was the one planned purchase I had. I knew exactly what I wanted. I used an app called Colors or Coolers, which lets you choose a color palette, and you can like pick a color, lock it into place, and randomly generate more that will coordinate with it. And I used that to come up with a color scheme for this. This is I just read off the colors. It's a four color sweater, very stripey. And I took it, and I knew I was pretty sure I was going to buy at Stunning String just because I knew they had a very wide color range. And I was able to find almost exactly the colors that I wanted. The pink and the blue are maybe a little brighter than what I had in mind. I think I wanted a little muted, but I like how it's turning out. So this one, I've started. I am almost through with the left front of it. So you do the left front and the right front, and then I think maybe the back, and then join them. I trust that the pattern is going to be intuitive because I know her patterns are really good. Right now I'm kind of in a I hope this is going to work out mode, but I like the way the colors are working so far.
Very retro.
It is, and it's really nice. I like it. But it has, so you've got vertical stripes along the front and back, and then there's a side panel, I mean horizontal stripes, and then vertical stripes on the side panels. So I think it'll be a lot of fun, and it's got that same boxy shape that she's been doing a lot of, and it will be nice. I'm really into the fingering weight sweaters. I wasn't sure what I was going to think about doing that, but I will be able to wear the Distract Me this summer, especially at work, because they keep it cool. And it went so much faster than I expected it would. Let's see. I guess, yeah, those are my only active whips. I am very close to, I prepped fiber to go on the wheel today, but I haven't put it on yet, and that's another Elemental Fiber Works. I think it's the last skein in her club from last year. And casting on soon, since I finished the Very Busy Monkey shawl, I'm going to cast on another one, and that is going to be the Curie shawl, like Marie Curie. And I think I'm going to use Yarn Carnival in the Oil Slick colorway. I was grabbing yarns and trying to decide today. It needs to be a skein that is big enough, because some people seem to have issues with yarn and running out before it was done, so I want to make sure I have enough. I think I had earmarked that for something else, but I don't care.
Can always get more oil slick at Houston Fiber Fest.
And then other crafty adventures, I am still plugging away at the cross stitch stocking. I took a good few week break on that one while I was working on the sweater, but I am currently back stitching over the part that is in my hoop, and I've finished stitching a whole section, so I feel very accomplished on that. My husband is no longer on Instagram, so he's not seeing the progress anymore. And acquisitions. I'm going to let Katie go. I picked up a couple of things for her at DFW Fiber Fest. I'm going to let her talk about that. And okay. Then I will get into my massive yarn hoarding, yarn piggery.
I think this is all I had you get. Yep. So I sent money along with Summer, and she got me a skein of Rock and String Creations, her worsted base called Wayward in Extra Extra. So it's a white base with black speckles, like newsprint, I'm guessing. And then the main thing I really wanted was I wanted to try some Canon hand dyes. Sorry, it's in a bag. Hold on.
Is this for me?
She's like, I like mustache. She's, I think, the one that busted up my mustache that one day. So I had started following a whole bunch of people on Instagram that I didn't already follow before Fyberfest, and I saw that Canon Hand Dyes was going to be there. And I actually know her from the Plucky group. I think we've traded yarn a couple times. But I wanted some of her mini skein sets, or some of her yarn. So I got a mini set, which is 24 minis that are about 20 yards each. Of one of them is called Bruce Yak Merino Fingering, so it's 70% merino, 20% yak, 10% nylon, and it's in fall rainbow. So it's really muted fall rainbow colors. The other one is called Great Expectations. That's the colorway or the set name. And this is with her Charles Merino, which is an 80-20. And these are all just kind of various colors. So there's some like variegateds and speckles. quite a bit that are like blues and grays. And a couple purple pinks. And greens. Not quite sure. I was thinking about using the fall rainbow one for a Russell Street shawl, but I just found out that that's short rows, and I don't know if I want to do short rows. I think it's one of those that you knit past, other than knitting short of. So I can do that.
Kind of like the color affection, isn't that how that one was?
Yeah, I don't mind knitting past, you know, knit past the marker. It's when you have to knit like short of the marker that I don't like, because that's more math.
Yeah.
And then she got me a mug from Poly Studios that has the pirate skull and says yarn on it. I finally brought that home. Yeah. I think that's all I got.
So I'll start with DFW Fyberfest. So I went to the Texas Library Association conference the first week of April, and I was really excited because that Friday was the last day of conference, which there often isn't anything that I want to do on the last day of conference, and that also overlapped with the first day of the market for DFW. So I was super excited, and I went, and actually one of our coworkers, Lauren, went with me. Both of my coworkers that I was staying with were originally going to go, but one of them decided to do other things. I think she got another ride home and did something else instead. So Lauren and I went. It was Lauren was really excited. I won't say is not a yarn person, because she might be now. But she certainly had never been to a fiber festival and hadn't really dipped into the fiber world at all. Yeah. But she had decided before we went that she wanted to learn to crochet. So she was really excited about looking at yarn and seeing if there were any, you know, kits or anything like that. And she actually did find a kit for a bunny and has started crocheting. And so she keeps telling me about, you know, finding, or that she, I crocheted on the bus. I brought my crochet to work today. So I think she has been fully indoctrinated. She was very overwhelmed. She told me she was overwhelmed by color and texture. But she had a really good time. She did tell me, she said, "Summer, you ruined me, because I went into Michael's to buy yarn and I just looked at it and went, oh." So she got started, she got spoiled immediately, but it was fun to have her along. It was fun to enable, but, so we went in. The first thing I did, I went and saw Heidi of Undead Yarn. She was in the front, so she was my first stop. I went and said hello. And while I was there, I picked up a skein of roadkill. She had a basket kind of back behind her, and I looked over, and this one just jumped out at me. It's just got this really beautiful red in it that I really, really liked. But it's also got some blues and some browns. It's not opened up, but it looks like maybe there's some greens in there too. It's just really, really pretty. So that jumped out at me. And then I moved on, and I decided to go buy stuff for Katie first because I had her cash, and I had cash for myself too and didn't want to get mixed up. So I wanted to make sure that I had spent her money on her and not more for me. So first I went over to the Canon hand dyed booth, and it got completely, there were a lot of, I don't even know, I told you this, there were a lot of people in there, and it was really overwhelming because Katie had told me to buy mini sets, and she had just a lot. It all kind of looked the same. And she was really sweet. She was in there, and she was kind of laughing at me because I'm like, I'm buying for someone else. I'm not really sure. I tried to FaceTime Katie. It didn't work. It was crazy. But ultimately, I think I found, I think I did okay. As best as I could do under the circumstances. And then, I don't even know. I'm not going to even try to go in order. But the rest of the stuff I bought, I went to Teeny Button Studios, and I ended up buying her show colorway, which is called Roadside Blue Bonnets, and I bought it on the Sparkle. It's her, she calls it Shimmer Sock, which is 75% merino, 20% nylon, 5% stellina. It's 438 yards. And it is really beautiful blues and purples and greens, and it's just really pretty. I don't know if it was my last purchase, but it was really close to my last purchase. And I'd gotten to the point, I'd almost reached saturation, even though we were only there probably 2.5-3 hours. But I was trying to spend my money judiciously. I had gotten a certain amount. I think I did visit the ATM one time, but I had, the last little bit of money that I was going to spend. I was trying to decide what to spend it on, and I was going to get the Carson Demers
book.
Knitting ergonomics book. And so I was kind of trying to leave that. But then, it's not fiber. So I kept wavering. And Lauren was with me at that point. And I was in this booth, and I picked it up, and I was like, oh, because I had forgotten that she was bringing it. And Lauren said, you need to buy that. This is not the response you had to the book. This clearly you want this more. Right. So
Lauren knows how to enable.
Yes, she does. She's good. I'm hoping to convince her to go with us to Houston Fiber Fest, but it depends because I may take off a day to go to that. So that was from Teeny, but oh wait, no. Also got from there a little enamel pen that has a knitting fox. It's very cute. I wish Darcy. I didn't get one for Darcy, but I should have. I thought about her when I bought it, at least. And then from Fiber Optic Yarns, I bought. This is gonna rattle. Sorry. It is Polworth Silk in the Raven's Wing color, and it's not open, but, well, I'm going to have to open it because I can't really see the colors. So it's really, really, really dark. It's got kind of purples and blues, and I guess it's probably over dyed with black. So it's really dark, very kind of, well, I mean, it looks like
it's really dark jewel tones.
Yeah. That's really pretty.
That's not for you.
Over there, you think it is. It is not for you. So then I also have from Gritty Knits, I bought a Rambouillet braid in Bright Supernova, which is, it's just lots of different colors. It's got some orange and fuchsia and blues. I mean, it's got rainbow. A little bit of everything. It's got rainbow colors, but it's not a rainbow.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a little darker, kind of like a
tie-dye, like a hippie tie-dye.
Yes, actually. Yeah. So that'll be really pretty, and I haven't spun a whole lot of Rambouillet, but I really enjoy it when I do. It's very, very
puffy. I wonder if she's going to bring fiber to Houston.
I hope so. She had quite a bit.
I hope she does the grab mystery bags again, too. Yeah. I scored really well last time.
Then I stopped by Lone Star Arts, and I bought a yarn bowl. This was one of my planned purchases as well. I got one of her cloth yarn bowls. We've talked about it in a previous episode. Katie has one already, and I got one with Blue Bonnet fabric. Let's see. Then, I don't remember the name of this booth. Goodies Unlimited. She has a lot of soaps and that type of stuff, and every single bar of her soap smelled amazing. And she had so much that it was a bit overwhelming. But I ended up with a really basic oatmeal cream and honey. It wasn't overwhelming. It smells really good.
Is it wool wash or just regular soap?
Just regular soap.
Yeah. Like a cookie.
I wish that she would come to Houston Fiber Fest because I would buy more. This was one of those, I only bought one, but she had a deal. It was like 4 for $17, and I wish I had bought more, but I didn't. Oh, I'll see her again. Then I've already talked about the Stunning String Studio that I bought for the Separate Ways. And then last but not least, I bought a llama. It's either a llama or alpaca. He didn't know either. From an enamel pen from Whimsy Stitches. I went in and said hello to Rick. We had met at Into the Wool a couple of years ago, and I told him I would come by. And that's actually where I bought the rock and string for Katie. And he has really cute bags. I'm just trying really hard not to buy more bags right now. So I only got the pen. So that was my DFW. And I actually felt fairly restrained. We had gotten our tax return, so I was allowing myself to spend a little more than I normally would if I wanted to. And I ended up spending about the same as I usually spend at a fiber festival. So I felt like I was, you know, as restrained as I could be. And on the way back from Dallas to Houston, Lauren and I were talking, and at some point I said, well, you know, I was telling her about Houston Fiber Fest, and I was like, oh yeah, that's only about 2.5 months away from now. I can probably hold off and not buy anything between now and then. Famous last words. So the next week I was actually, well, over the next 2 weeks, I was home for a week, and it was super stressful work week, you know, having been at a conference and then getting ready to leave for a conference, and then I was at a conference. So I had an Etsy gift certificate that I needed to spend. So with that, I bought a braid of Created by LCB in Superwash BFL nylon in the Christmas time colorway, which is fairly predictably Christmas colors. It reminds me, it's got greens and reds, but it's also got some blues, and it kind of reminds me more of like Christmas lights and stuff. I'm not sure, but it is Christmassy, so my intention is to spin it thin enough and make socks. Not sure yet. And then I was enabled by Instagram one day. I follow Atomic Fiber Co. And she was pleading with people to buy from her. She had Etsy fees that needed to be paid, and she was running low on funds. So I went to take a look, and she had some Halloween sock yarn. This is the Hocus Pocus colorway, and it is a superwash merino. And it's mostly orange and black, but there is a little bit of green in there as well. And there may be others that I'm not seeing, but I think that's the whole of it. That will also be socks. Then, we were staying at a Marriott in downtown Atlanta, and they had artwork on the walls. This was it's sort of unrelated to the yarn purchase or fiber purchase, but they had this one painting that was just an abstract painting, a big square painting that was mostly yellow with some lime green or like spring green around the edges. And I was really drawn to it. It was really pretty. And then I was scrolling through Instagram, you know, between sessions or something, and Hobbledehoy posted that she had just posted some batlings, and they were a lemonade stand that were these really pretty lime or lemon, you know, yellow and blues, and just really, really pretty. I was like, oh, those are just so pretty. And I bought them, actually, I bought two so that I could actually make something substantial. And I, not long after that, I walked to the restroom and passed the painting that I had seen and stopped in my tracks and looked at it and was like, huh, because it was so similar. I was like, no, I'm not easily influenced by color at all. So obviously I was in a yellow place that day. Then, I've been buying the Leading Men Fiber Arts colorway of the month this year, and I almost forgot, and I went and looked, and I actually couldn't determine which one was the colorway of the month, but I was watching Stockinette Zombies, and Amy is doing the same thing, and she mentioned that she had bought Head in the Clouds, so I picked that up. This was super fast shipping up.
They're usually pretty fast.
I ordered it either Friday or Saturday, and I had it on Monday. But this one is a sky blue with flecks of hot really pink pale. And purple. Yeah, it's really pretty.
Are you getting the same base every time?
Yeah, I am. That way, if I decide,
What are you getting? Fingering?
Yeah, I'm getting the showcase fingering, which is just 100% merino. I don't know. I probably won't do one thing with them, but if I get the same base, I could combine several if I want to. I was considering one of these for the Curie shawl, because it's got nice yardage, and since it's 100% superwash, it would be a good shawl yarn. I mean, no, 100% merino, not superwash. I'm not 100% sure that this was the March or April colorway. I couldn't find it listed in the Ravelry group, but if it's not, I still got pretty yarn. And then last but not least, this was not knitting, well, I made it knitting related, but I was in the gift shop at the hotel looking around, and they had these little zipper bags, and they had this one that says, when you hear a Southern girl yell, oh, hell no, you better run. And I loved it and grabbed it and said, I texted Katie and said, I bet the hotel gift shop didn't know they were selling project bags. Project bags, but it's
like a sock. It's really small, but yeah.
Yeah, but it will be perfect for a sock or a hat. Yeah, so that came home with me. And that, my friends, is it. That's enough, right?
Did you buy Miss Babs yesterday?
I did not buy Miss Babs yesterday, but we went and got breakfast tacos this morning, and there was a long line, so I was sitting and scrolling through and made a wish list. Now, I never got to the part where I actually signed in and saved the wish list. My story was that I had a really hard week this week. Just, it was crazy coming back for conferences, and I needed to treat myself. But so far, I haven't done enough with.
I tried to tell you.
I can't decide. I mean, it's really not. It's reasonably priced.
Sounds like they're gonna start carrying it. So yeah,
there were so many pretty colorways. If there had been something that had jumped out, I would have bought it while I was in line. But there were so many that I couldn't decide between. I think there was one that was like Chinese hackberry or hot fox nut, I think, or something like that, that I really liked. But they're just beautiful colors. Events coming up is Houston Fiber Fest. That is in almost exactly 2 months from this weekend. I think, a little less than 2 months. I think it's the week, the 23rd-ish of June. We will both definitely be there at least one day. We were there. We ended up going the same day last year. You went two days.
I came
days.
Back on Saturday.
Yeah, I am not 100% sure I will be there almost certainly on Friday. I'm planning, I'm planning to take Friday off and go. Saturday night, we have a concert that we're going to, and I don't know what other plans may fall into place. So if I take Friday, then I know that I don't know that I have a car. We'll have to rethink that. I'm not sure. Definitely I'll be there one day for sure. I'm really looking forward to it.
Jimmy's going to school.
Oh, right. That's in June. Right. So, yes. I will be there.
On a trip or something.
Right. So, yes. I will almost certainly be there Friday. Possibly Saturday. We'll see.
I just like taking vacation days. So
yeah. Friday. I'm already in need of a vacation day, so I'm looking at that. It's still 2 months away, but
I think Memorial Day in between there.
Yeah, I think I can probably hold off until then. We are planning to take a vacation in August. It's our 25th wedding anniversary, and we're planning to go somewhere. Right now, we are looking at Mexico City, but we haven't done any official planning yet. So I'm trying to make sure that I have a full 5 days. And I definitely have that now, but if I take indiscriminate days off between now and then, I don't earn it fast enough to be sure.
Have you used your floating holiday yet?
Yeah, I think I used it over spring break.
I always save mine till the end of the year.
I usually use it on my birthday, but this year my birthday was on like a Wednesday or Thursday, and I didn't want
to. You had something going on or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't remember. To work anyway,
it was fine. Reading and watching. I'm going to let you go because I've been talking a while.
Reading Mojo is slightly coming back. I did finish Ready Player One. It was okay. I mean, I still have the same comments that I had before. It was a little too much 80s. But once he got past the first major quest or gate or something, it got a little bit better. Yeah. But it was just a little longer than it needed to be. We haven't seen the movie yet.
We haven't either.
I'm really bad about going to movies. It's like, oh yeah, let's go to a movie. And then I, like, rather sit at home all weekend. So I finished Ready Player One. I read The Wicked Deep by Shay Earnshaw. This is a fantasy paranormal YA book that has witches in it. The premise is that in this little town, coastal town or something like that, because there's an island involved, these three sisters were put to death for supposedly being witches. And so each summer for the last 200 years, these girls come back and haunt the town. They inhabit three girls of the town who then kill the boys in town.
Oh.
So over 200 years, you know, every summer three or four boys or men die. And there's this whole, you know, all this legend and stuff. I liked it. I can't tell if it's going to be a standalone or a part of a series. The way it ended, it could be all on its own. So the main character, Penny, lives on the island. I kind of wish they explained more about her mom. Her mom's kind of a recluse ever since her father died, and you find out how her father died towards the end of the book. And of course there's the mystery boy that shows up. But it was good. It was interesting. It was a slightly different take. Let's see, what else did I read? So that's a new book that came out. And then I just finished Ace of Shades by Amanda Foody.
That's a name I can get behind.
So this is YA fantasy. I don't know. I don't know if it was me or if it was the book. I gave it 2 stars. It was okay. It's this teenage girl named N, spelled E-N-N-E, who comes to this town, I think it's called New Rainus or something like that, which is kind of a surrogate for, I would say, Vegas, maybe? I don't know. That's kind of how I, in my head, made it. Her mother or adoptive mother has gone missing, and so she found something or had been told to go find this person. They might help you find me if I don't show up in a certain amount of time. There's in the world building, let your plane go by. In the world building, it's explained kind of sort of that you have talents, and so you have split talents. So depending on what family you come from, you could be a dancer and a mathematician. You could be an orb maker and an acrobat or whatever. And so N thinks she's a dancer and a mathematician, but she finds out she actually has different split talents. But she ends up meeting this guy named Levi, who gets her sucked in with this Donna, which is the female equivalent of a Don of like a mob family.
Right.
And so N has to do some dirty work for, her name's Vivica or Bianca, something like that. It was okay. I think either I read through it too fast and skipped some of the world building, or there needed to be a little more world building. I do think this is going to be 2, 3, 4 books.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it 2 stars. So, I could have used a little bit more, I thought. But that was just me. So, that's all I have read. My DVR consistently stays at 90%, so I'm trying to get some room on my DVR. Been just rewatching Miss Fisher, Murder Mysteries.
I think I watched part of one of them one time.
They're really cute. I really like them. And I had missed the first 3 or 4 episodes ever. Mm-hmm. So when they got replayed on PBS, I just had set to tape. And so I'm kind of want to watch the series again. Mm-hmm. And I've just been spending a lot of time with my cat. So I haven't been watching a whole bunch of TV at night. But I'm I need to get it down a little bit before we go on vacation. Because I've been taping Howard's End and Unreal and all this other stuff that's just plus I still have all my old PBS stuff on there I haven't watched. So okay,
let's see. So I also finished Ready Player One, and my comments are very similar to Katie's. I was not the exact 80s kid that would really really like it, but I did enjoy the references, and I enjoyed the plot of the book. I did like it a lot. I think I liked it maybe a little more than Katie did, but I didn't like it as much as some of the people that I know.
Got a little bit better, but
I also have not seen the movie yet, but I do want to go see it. I've heard mixed reviews, but I think I'll like it. I also finished The Nightbird by Brian Freeman. This is kind of a thriller. It was really creepy. There was a women kept dying. They would be like just fine, and then all of a sudden they would just go crazy and like act like they were terrified and like run from something and then end up killing themselves. And there was a guy with a creepy mask involved, and it turned out that this is not really giving anything away, but turns out that there was an association with a psychiatrist who would help you with, like, if you had phobias, she would remove the memories or kind of overwrite the memories that were associated with your fear, so you were no longer afraid. And somebody had found a way to play on that and cause these women to go crazy. And it was really good. I actually really enjoyed it. The writing was not great. It seemed to get better, or maybe I just liked the story enough that I kind of didn't care about the mediocre writing. But if you like thrillers, not Silence of the Lambs bad, but you know, that kind of, I'm sure there's a I guess thriller is probably the best. And the main character is a cop who's, you know, helping, trying to solve the crime. But I really liked that a lot. And it is part of a series, I think. And then I tried to read this book called Forgive My Fins, which is a YA book. And the main character is a mermaid, but people couldn't know she was a mermaid, and it was bad. Had really bad. What bothered me were the really bad puns. Like, instead of saying "oh crap," she would say "oh carp," and things like that. That would make my eye. I would roll my eyes. Yeah, this one I started reading when I was at the. I finished Nightbird while I was at my second conference, and I had loaded this one to read, and it was fluffy enough. I was like, oh, you know, even if it's bad, I will enjoy. And I was on the airplane. I was like, no, I don't want to read it. I'm going to move on to the next one. So the next one that I started reading, I'm still reading, is Apollo 8 by Jeffrey Kluger. And it's about the Apollo 8 mission when the first trip, not landing on the moon, but they first orbited the moon. And I started it on the plane, like around the time we're taking off, and he's talking about like death and flight and all. I'm like, I think maybe I'm not gonna read this right now. So I went back.
I'm nervous.
I went back to Forgive My Fins, and I just couldn't do it. I read basically until the flight attendant stopped. I was reading enough into it that I didn't hear her like calling me to ask if I wanted a drink. But I was like, I just can't do it. I can't do it. So I quit that one. I'm really enjoying Apollo 8. It's nonfiction, but it's one of those, it's a nonfiction that reads like as, it has a fiction style. I don't know what, there is a word for that in writing, but narrative fiction. No, okay. Narrative nonfiction, I think is what it is. But I'm really, really enjoying that. If you like things like Eric Larson, that type of, those types of stories where it's humanizing the nonfiction. You probably would like it. I'm enjoying that a lot. And I'm probably further along in it than it feels like I am, because it's a Kindle book and there's
pictures at the end, you don't know.
But I'm really enjoying that. And let's see, as far as watching, I haven't been to a movie in a while. I think the last thing I saw was Love, Simon. And then we've been watching, I ended up subscribing to Stars with Amazon Prime so that I could watch Mad About You reruns, because we used to watch Mad About You when we were first married, and they were first married and are related to Paul and Jamie. So we've been watching a lot of that. We've been playing board games, and while we play board games, we turn on slow TV and turn on the train ride from Bergen to Oslo, I think, is where it is. And last night Jimmy had gone to bed and it was still on, and it was 5 minutes away from Oslo, and I'm like, oh, I have to turn it off because Jimmy's got to see the end. That's really nice background music. It's really pretty scenery, so that's kind of nice when we just want some sound on. Anything, I finished watching the second season of The Crown, and that's about it. I've traveled so much that I really haven't had much time at home.
Watch The Alienist.
Oh, really? Was it good? I have it on my to-read
list. It took an episode or two to get into, but then I thought it was good. Mm-hmm. Dave wanted to read the book. So he's like, can you get it from the library? I'm like, do you want to wait 6 months? Here, just spend money and buy it on Kindle if you want it that bad. I liked it. It was kind of, he asked me the other night, he goes, is there going to be another season of that? I'm like, that was one of those limited run things where they only make, you know, the 6 or 10 episodes or whatever.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there was anything else. It feels like we kind of have like dipped our toes into a lot of series, but it's all of it. April has been kind of a blur for me. I kind of feel like I haven't had an April. In the kitchen, because I haven't been home, I haven't done a lot, but I did last week make from Dory's Cookies, what she calls friendship cookies, but they are rugelach, the little kind of croissant-shaped cookies. It's just basically it's a pastry dough with filling. It has like it had jam and raisins and nuts and chocolate and cinnamon sugar, and they were really, really good. This was one of those cookies that I wasn't expecting a lot out of, and we all really liked them. Even Eli, and doesn't have a big sweet tooth. I was going to make chocolate chip cookies from Sally's Cookie Addiction this morning, but we ended up going to REI instead. And then last but not least, I was traveling. Dallas didn't have any food that was worth talking about. We did go to this one place. It was a newish Italian restaurant in uptown Dallas. And I can't remember the name of it now. It was really new, and it was Italian, and it looked good on paper. And actually, the food was good, but it really needs to decide whether or not it wants to be a bar or whether it wants to be a restaurant, because it was super, super loud. We were there over happy hour and extended, and they were playing like club music loud, and it wasn't a great place for our group. We went as a big group of library employees and former employees. It was an okay experience. And then for the second conference, I went to Atlanta, and there are three places that are worth mentioning. The first was Gus's World Famous Fried Chicken, which started in Memphis and now is there are franchises all over the place. They're actually getting one in Houston, and it's hot and spicy fried chicken. The chicken was really good. The mac and cheese was amazing. I really would have gone back just to get some more mac and cheese, and I'm really picky about mac and cheese. And then they had chocolate chess pie on the menu, and I had told the waitress at the beginning, I was like, I'm going to get that. And then she tells me at the end that they actually didn't have any that day, that apparently, like, they had made them, but they didn't turn out well, so they weren't selling them, which I that's admirable. I would rather them not sell me subpar food.
Horrible piece. Yeah,
so I ended up getting pecan pie instead. That was good, but I liked that place. I'm in Atlanta, I need to have fried chicken. And then we went to Pity Pat's Porch, which is Gone with the Wind themed, like Aunt Pity Pat and Gone with the Wind. And it is Atlanta, so it was appropriately themed. It was okay. The food, we had fried green tomatoes, which were actually pretty good. I got a steak because I had already had fried chicken. The steak was not, it wasn't that great. People that had the fried chicken, some people liked it, some people didn't. It was huge orders. But more than anything, it was also really loud, and there was a lot of, I guess it was smoke from the kitchen or something in the air, so yeah. I just was really bothering my sinuses, so my overall experience wasn't great. It was an experience, though. And then the last day of the conference, it was the day after the conference. We weren't leaving until around 11 for the airport, so my coworker and I decided to head out and actually go find a place to have breakfast. And I found the Atlanta Breakfast Club on Yelp, which was about a half a mile from the hotel, so we hoofed it over there. And I forgot that Atlanta has hills, so a half mile in Houston does not equal a half mile in Atlanta. We were kind of worn out, but the food was delicious. I had peach cobbler French toast.
Sounds good.
It was really good. It was really, really good. And bacon and really, really good grits. And I remember what Sima had. Eggs and not bacon. Toast or something. It was, you know, she was not as adventurous as I was, but I had to try the French toast. It was good. That place was definitely worth going to. I've heard it's one of those places that can be really busy, but this was a Thursday morning, so it wasn't busy at all. Apparently you can make reservations on Yelp, which will save your wait time if you were ever in Atlanta and you wanted to give it a shot. It's right across the street from the Georgia Aquarium and the World of Coke. So that is it. This was the enabling episode, I think, more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. I enjoy getting to go and have a splurge every once in a while. Let's see. It is looking at the next episode. I know May is busy for you. You're traveling and then you have a conference.
So maybe that third weekend or whatever.
Yeah, probably like 19th or maybe that last weekend would be good. I'm going to see Hamilton on the 12th. I'm really excited about that. Yeah, the 19th probably will work. So a little less than a month, we will be back. In the meantime, enjoy your knitting and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.